Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Skipping the formalities. You guys got time.
Yes,
you guys got time.
We
this
do.
Is a reunion between us. How you doing, man?
John, how are you?
I'm great. You doing all right?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Congratulations on all the success, man.
Oh, thank you. And thank you guys for the time today. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. They originally gave me the dais or the schedule and said, do you want to do something that relates to wrestling? I said, I would love to do it for the whole day. So not only did I put them in their place for trying to push me out of where I belong, I made sure that we got this in. So honestly, thanks for the time. I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, I want to thank you because, you know, Busted Open's been on the air now for 14 years. And
holy
I would say...
shit.
The majority of that time has been talking about you.
Yeah,
so.
I can only imagine what's been said. But I like that.
All good things.
That is bullshit.
Well, you know what? They appreciate you now. And that's what we've been saying.
That's great. Honestly, it's great. And described in the WWE speak as polarizing, I would have it no other way. And I think that's what's great about wrestling. You can feel however you want, and you're encouraged to be vocal, and you're encouraged to be a player in the stage. You don't have to like everything that's doing. You can be vocal with your opinion in the arena, in a podcast, through any medium you want. And I love that our art form embraces that.
Well, I want to ask you about what you're a part of right now before we get back into the wrestling.
Cool.
And that is, you know, Fast X opens up nationwide on Friday.
It's going to be tough to stay with the movie talk, but we're going to do
it. Yeah, we're definitely, because we got to promote that. We have a job to do. And now you are a part of one of the biggest, you know, franchises in movie history. So what is that like for you?
It's essentially getting the chance to be a part of WWE. Think of it like that. You're a performer, and you try to hone your craft, and you go elsewhere, and then your goal is to get an invite to be on the winning team, to be on something with global reach that has reached the world over 22 years now with the Fast mythology. And they asked me in on the ninth installment. So, like, they did all the Undertakers, the Hogans, the San Martinos had already been there. Then it's like, hey, kid, you want to play for the winning team? And of course, it's a yes. And then you just get a chance to try to prove yourself. It the parallels that the Fast family runs to, like, a WWE locker room is uncanny. And I think it's the way it is because the original cast has been doing it for 22 years, and they don't want some new person coming in and essentially negating their hard work, you know? So everybody is, like, vetted properly, and, like, it's a real family environment. There's a few conversations and cocktails that are encouraged, which I really love that. And it's a great place to work, and reminds me of my early days in the WWE.
Okay.
So, John, when I hear an answer like that, immediately I hear pay your dues.
Yes. Yes.
So when you entered the Fast movie role and were a part of that crew and on that set, were there dues that you had to pay, so to speak?
Well, you know, the term pay your dues is kind of that's kind of terminology that would be thrown around between people of our generation, because I guess that was the sentence that sums it up. I would like to, because times have changed, things have changed, I would like to kind of encompass that with bet on the right person. And you can get a part, but if you, and that's the same with WWE or I would, I only know experience in WWE. You can get a chance to go out there by how you look, what you offer, but over the long term, if you're not a fit for the company's not a fit for you. And you'll, you'll be exited out. Like, they'll, you, good luck with your future endeavors. We're choosing to part ways. FAST is the same way. They have a system where they vet you before you go. They make sure you're the right person. And then they make sure you're not full of shit over the scope of filming. And if you're welcomed in when they believe that you are the right person for the family, just like WWE, it's a very family environment. And if you're not the right fit, it's no harm on anybody. But they do essentially make sure to bet on the right people.
And I look at this cast that you're a part of, like Rita Moreno's in this movie.
Yeah,
like, it's like,
and so am I.
It's amazing.
What world does that exist?
And right? when I think of Rita, I think of the Rockford Files, and I think of Jim Rockford's 1974 Pontiac Firebird. But like, there's such.
Am I talking to a car guy here?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, what nice. Other reason was it to watch the Rockford Files than to see a 74 Pontiac Firebird?
Nice.
But you look at that, and yeah, you're, I shouldn't even say you're new, because now you've been doing movies for so long. But now do you feel like, all right, I am an actor. I'm not just a wrestler trying to be an actor, but I am a part of this.
So I was asked that question earlier in a entertainment segment, and this will be really good because I used wrestling as a parallel. And in WWE, I started on TV with Vince in 2002, and then... by 2012, so I a train wreck I did in 2012, 13, came out in 14. So if we do a 10-year period of, like, now it's 2023, and we do 10 years in the WWE of 2012, I was still gaining fluency. I didn't feel comfortable until about 2015, 2016. So it took 15 or so years before I saw, like, ones and zeros. And even then, upon seeing, like, that fluency, it's like, oh, now there's a whole bunch of more stuff to learn. So I don't feel as like I'm an outcast anymore. I certainly don't feel like I don't belong. But I also know I still have to work some main events with some marquee veterans to be able to, like, absorb what I feel I need to get from my fluency. So I'm not there yet, but it's, I don't feel like I'm on the outside looking in. Okay. I don't feel like, we need the wrestler guy because, you know, the audience. It's more like we welcome you in the environment to try what you can, and we're going to coach you along. I still am getting heavily coached through a lot of the stuff.
John, you talked about seeing the ones and zeros in Hollywood. Let's flip back to pro wrestling for a second, sports entertainment. When did you first see the ones and zeros in the WWE?
So again, it was like there's no such thing as an overnight sensation. I got to work with really gifted entertainers first coming up, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Rikishi, Booker T, JBL, all these guys who embraced the Shakespeare of what we did. And that was a period where I just didn't say anything and shut up and listened and, like, asked afterwards, was lucky enough to be able to ask some, hey, why did this happen, and get some great answers and insight. So I was surrounded by people better and smarter than me with more knowledge, and they're at all points in their career where they wanted to pass that knowledge on. So that's kind of what got me there at the pace I got there. And like I said, I think it was in 2015 where I felt pretty fluent. Like, right around the time of the US Open Challenge. That kind of encompasses, like, bring anybody out here. I'll figure it out. You know, but I think until then it was still a deep diving into, and I don't ever not get into my opponent or the why or the story, but it wasn't until, like, yeah, I have this quote unquote middle of the road championship. I'm going to do the best to elevate it and send anybody out the tunnel, and we're just going to make entertaining TV, and I'll figure it out.
And that's what you did. Even though you're not in the ring as much as you used to be, you're still a big topic on Busted Open. And I'll tell you why. WrestleMania 39. Just before, you're at the top of the entrance ramp with Cody Rhodes. And I looked at Cody, because you, for a long time, were the face of the franchise. You were the guy in the WWE. I saw that moment with you and Cody as almost like a passing of the torch.
Well, okay, continue, because that's a thought, not a question.
Okay, and I almost could guarantee that Cody was going to beat Roman at WrestleMania 39. Didn't happen. There's still a lot of story to be told. But did you feel, for you, that was almost like a passing of the torch moment?
Well, I get excited with potential. I really do get excited with potential. And it's because I think in my origin story, I wasn't exactly someone that people were betting on. I kind of got hired defensively, so I wouldn't go to WCW for peanuts. I had some people who saw me perform who were advocating to people who didn't care about my performance, which granted me some opportunities. And then I was lucky to have some people who supported me. I remember the first time I kind of experienced, I would say the WWE life was in Japan with you by my side. And that was, in my perspective, that was your way of saying, hey, welcome in. This is kind of what we're about, and this is where the secrets are shared, and this is where the wisdom is passed. And although it may not be your thing, this is our thing. And if you want to be in our family, we'd love to have you, but this is kind of the way our family does it. And I never got to thank you for that. So thank you very much for dragging me out in the streets of in Tokyo to have the beginning of what would be a wonderful ride on a lightning bolt. You know, and I don't, you don't do it by yourself, which is why I don't think anyone takes, like, you don't pass it to anybody. You just hope to put energy out there and anyone with potential can get it. Like, it was said that I passed the torch to Roman years ago, and he absolutely is the face of the franchise. I think in my mind, he's the greatest of all time. But I tried to do what I could, and when I did it, it wasn't the miracle. Like, it didn't happen. He got it on his own terms. I just like seeing people who are passionate about the business, who want to be there, who want to show up, who aren't using it as a vehicle to do something else, because the thing itself is awesome. And it's okay if you get other opportunities outside. That's a testament to your work. But I wish I was still there, like there every day. I just can't, my body can't do it anymore. And I don't want to give the consumer a bad product. That's another thing that I learned from those veterans at the time. Guys like Eddie just would risk so much. And he's like, I'm never going to give the consumer a bad product. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how I feel physically. I don't care what baggage I have mentally. When I'm on, they paid good money, and I'm going to go out there and give everything I have and sometimes find it when it's not there. And I'm at a point where everything I have, in comparison to the bar that's been set, boys, like, what I have is what you saw at WrestleMania 39. Like, that's what I feel confident that I can deliver. And that's really nice for here and there. That's not every day in the WWE. That's not every day in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment has raised the bar. And I'm humble enough to say that's awesome, because you're supposed to leave it better than you found it. And the people are supposed to advance it. And that's why you go from smoky bingo halls to the Pontiac Silverdome to now towns offering us to be financial incentives to be in for WrestleMania.
John, when it comes to the world of pro wrestling, so many people love John Cena, and I love the way you embrace it. So many people hate John Cena, I love the way you embrace it. But one of the things that I've always spoke about on this show or in private conversations with fellow wrestlers is you have to respect what you have done in the world of Make-A-Wish. I mean, when you think about it, there's nobody even close to you for granting the amount of wishes that you have granted to children over the years. You're a pro wrestler. How in the world can a pro wrestler far surpass anybody else? And how does that make you feel every time you grant wishes?
Thank you for showcasing that. And a very good question. And I think the answer is easy. I think, like, right place, right time. This whole thing for me, guys, has been a happy accident. Like I said, I was last picked, about to get fired, had a few guys around me that kind of gave me another chance. Make-A-Wish is a charity that WWE is involved with. I didn't seek them out and said, like, hey, we have to do this. You know, WWE's been working with Make-A-Wish for like 35 years. So the network's already established. And as you become relevant, people watch the WWE. So, like, yeah, I'd like to meet John. And that transformed into, like, whoa, this is the best avenue for the Wish experience. If you were to come to set, like, if your wish is to meet John Cena and you come to set, you'll get a few minutes of my time, but a lot of it is just waiting around for take after take of the same thing. And it takes a lot of patience to make movies, patience that I wasn't ready for when I first got the chance. Going from live entertainment to movies is like getting stuck. And you really have to develop the mindset for, I'm going to do the same thing for this 12 hours, and we're not done yet. I'm going to do it for the next 6 days. And that's it. Like, and you have to be able to appreciate that. Whereas wrestling, it's like, I'm on at 8:05, I'm off at 8:21, and I got to get to the next town to do it again and do it again. And then I got Tuesday home to do my laundry, and then I'm back out Wednesday, and then I got to do it again and do it again. But in turn, it offers the best experience because the kids come and, like, it's this focus of energy with fans streaming into the building, and they have their signs, and you guys have been in the arenas as they're filing in, like the noise and the anticipation and the excitement. So they get to feel that coming in, and then you walk in, and then, like, people with the Mutual Admiration Society, I want to see them, they want to see me. Now it's like really exciting. And on top of that, after we give our final handshake, I literally ask, like, you got any tips out there? Is there anything you want to see? And they'll be like, can you do this, this, and this? And you just put it in the memory bank and be like, make sure to do this. And then you find out, like, where are you guys sitting? So you can communicate during the performance. It is the best. Like, if it's something you want to be a part of, it's an experience catered to you. And I don't mean, like, you get the best seats. Like, I mean, I'll take your advice, I'll perform it in my performance, and I'll shout you out.
That's
and say,
amazing.
Thank you. Whew. So that's why... Your answer to the question is there's no better wish experience than WWE because it delivers every single time, like without fail. And as long as I'm participating in WWE, the idea to do the Wish Kid WrestleMania entrance, WrestleMania entrances are coveted. You know, they're special. They're unique. I have a few unique ones to myself. But when production came to me with the idea of, do you mind sharing the stage? We have this idea of course. You give 20 kids the perspective of the ramp, looking out at a stadium filled with 80 plus thousand going berserk. That's not being in the seats. I was a fan for the Undertaker match. Like I saw both sides. That's awesome sitting there, but it's mythical having that WrestleMania entrance and being able to do that for a group of people. Like take as many as you can, bring as many. I don't care how thin my slice of the stage is. Let's give that perspective to people who really enjoy it and probably could use some little joy in there.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold-press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life.
This might be a difficult question because you've had so many, and I mean so many. But do you have one moment for you that stands above all moments in the WWE?
Probably that time you got to work a 6-man with the Dudleys in Raw.
That was, I don't know how long you had that one in the holster, man. You rattled that off quick. That was you. Yes.
Or man. Something else.
I think in seeing the evolution of the business, like that's my biggest takeaway. When I started, and you have deeper wisdom than this because you come from multiple companies. I'm a WWE lifer. But when I started, there was like Jack Lanza and Timmy White at the cash table. You made sure to take your draw. You got, you know, your transportation was a nightmare. There was no navigation. I still had a Randall McNally Atlas. And, oh, it looks like an arena's over there. You know, like there was no developmental territories. It was all kind of boggled up and freelanced. And even the shows were kind of like off the cuff. And now there's so much more structure. There's so much more growth. To see it grow from the stereotype of like a carnival act to being perceived as a global phenomenon. And I speak in terms of WWE, but I think that is sports entertainment wide. Now, is there other companies putting in resource and being like, well, the world's a stage and we can go around the world and people will enjoy this as long as we put forth a good product. And I admire that. But my best moment is now, is looking at, okay, I've kind of done my piece and it's better now than it ever was. Talent's treated better. They have a lighter schedule. They're paid well. They have incentives. They get supplement for their college education if they want to be college educated. They get financial advice. I learned a language in the WWE because they offer a free second language program. The developmental system in NXT is a palace. It's this 200,000 square foot facility with a strength and conditioning wing that looks like a Division I college, with a medical wing to make sure they're taken care of. They have the best coaches. They have the best mentors. Like, this isn't the Davis Arena in Kentucky, which I loved, by the way, but it's not that. They have made themselves break the mold of perception, which is why I don't get bent out of shape when people are like, you know, it's fake, right? Like, to me, that when I hear that question, it's like, you know nothing about what we do, right?
Yeah.
And I don't get offended because I know who I'm talking to right away. It would be like somebody being like, you know, the movies are fake, right? Like, yeah, man. That's, I don't care. I don't get all defensive. It's just, it's like, oh, you're the one person who doesn't get it now. Okay, that's fair. Don't worry about it. But I think my favorite moment is just seeing how it's grown. And man, what a time to be in sports entertainment now. It's kind of like, it was kind of like the 90s. Like with WCW firing all cylinders and WWF firing all cylinders and ECW. There were so many companies to work for. I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that gold rush. And now we have like another renaissance of like, you can, there's tons of places to work and tons of avenues to perform in. And if WWE says, you know, we wish you best of luck in your future endeavors, kind of your journey's just starting.
Yeah. There's options.
There's options, yeah, man. And that means like people are hungry again. And like, I love it for the performers.
Now, I know time is short.
No, man, you guys got my time. Don't worry about it. They're going to drag me out of here.
I appreciate you giving us the time today. You're an icon. You're a legend. You know, we were...
You're a liar.
No.
Look at this.
No, right, I mean, I'm serious. Like, we were talking about yesterday on the show, we were talking about the greatest of all time. We were doing it with Mark Henry, and Mark Henry was talking about you and in that top 10 of the greatest of all time. When you hear those things, it must make you proud, because like you said, even if the fans were booing or cheering, they were acknowledging. And I think even when they were booing, fans always respected what you were able to give this business. So for that, I thank you, and good luck with the movie. It opens up nationwide on Friday.
Yeah, hey, if you're listening, go see Fast 10. Do it for the business. All right, it's good.
There you go.
By the way, it's a great ride. It's a great movie. Stay for the whole thing. Tons of cameos in it that I'm not allowed to talk about. So stay for that. It's awesome, and you're gonna have something to talk about. And trust me, when you see the whole thing, you're gonna have something business wise to talk about too. So it's pertinent to what we're talking about here.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the kind words. I am proud, but I'm proud because I'm a fan. I don't care about, my goal is not to be an icon. My goal is not to be in a top 10. I am proud because that is a conversation. That is a conversation all fans are allowed to have. And I don't care. I know that I am more than just what you see on WWE television as a person. So if you don't like my performance in WWE, that's beautiful. That's what it's all about. I still sleep well at night because I know who I am when I look in the mirror, and I feel good about the totality of who I am as a human being. But I'm proud that we can have a discussion, an open discussion about top 10. I can shoot a comment like, I think Roman's the greatest of all time, and watch your look be like, what the fuck? That's great. And that's what this is all about. And as long as there's still this, like, we can still get excited to go to the arena and see.
Okay, so then let me ask this parting question, John.
Yeah.
Okay. As a fan, who is your number one?
So my personal number one, I think right now, I think Roman Reigns has to be considered strongly. What he's done with the championship, what he's done as essentially a select event performer, like he's redefined how you do it. And not only that, the reason I really rest a lot of accolades on Roman's shoulders, and I've told this to him personally, so it's not something I'm talking around him with, his ability to pass energy to more than himself I haven't seen since the Four Horsemen. But the differences between him and Rick is Rick was always there. And that's brilliant. I'm an always there guy. I like to always be there.
And I've seen that firsthand. I know, like, even when we have like WrestleMania, when all the radio shows converge to WrestleMania on Radio Row, 6 a.m., you're there.
I'm always
there pointing out this should be a little bit higher. And let's, like,
sure.
You're there every minute, every day.
And I love that Roman did it his way. He did it his own way by crafting his own personality. He did it his own way by redefining what it is to be at the tip of the spear. He is there selectively. He has made himself exclusive. And in doing so, he's brought like 8 people with him. He's allowed the whole bloodline to get over. So with me, if you put me in that conversation, I could only help the person that I was working with while I was working with him. And the reputation I had in the sauce while I was in it was I bury talent, because I would really invest my wholeheartedness. I sat with Austin Theory for like 10 hours. Like, invested a day to talk about our why. Like, what's our story going to be? And I would do that with everyone. Like, I live it. My heart's on the plate. But after they were me, they didn't take that energy with them, but I gave it to the next guy. So, okay, who's next? It was AJ, and now it's Kevin Owens. All right, Kevin, come here. We're going to sit down for 2 weeks and just talk about stuff. And then we're going to go out there and try some crazy stuff, see what works, and then put our best foot forward. Kevin's done. Sammy, no problem. What Roman does, just being affiliated with his energy, he gets so many people over. That's something I could never do, ever, period. Like, you're with me, and you got a chance when you're there, but a lot of times you went off to do stuff that wasn't looked at in the same way, and then the perception of the audience is, oh my God, he buried him. Winning and losing doesn't matter. I haven't won a match in 5 years. It doesn't matter. Like, Roman's ability to be that good, to spread his energy so thin that he makes other talent that and do it exclusive. That's his difference between Rick. Rick was always the centerpiece.
Yeah.
Roman has off days, but he's still there. Like, his presence is so great. I think that's never been done. I've never seen anything like it.
John, I want to appreciate it once again. Good luck with the movie. Opens up Friday.
Fast 10 this week. Go see it.
All right, John Cena.
Thanks, guys.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream the podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.